Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise you today. Joyful, joyful, we do adore you. We are thankful, Lord, that you are the shepherd of our lives, of our souls. Speak to us this morning, Holy Spirit. Teach us your clear, bold word of truth. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is most important? What is most important? Now, you might think, well, Dave, that's kind of open-ended, but I thought about that. But there has to be one thing that's most important. And we don't have to just speculate, but we actually, in our text today, it's really the question that was asked Jesus. It was asked, which commandment is most important? But what they were really saying was, what is most important? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12? Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The scribe asked Jesus a question so he could evaluate his theological position, his doctrinal position. You say, the question, what is most important? And even though it was a theological question, it was a Bible question, but God was their world. And so I think it's very valid to say, to ask the question, what is most important, and to answer it from this Mark text. What is most important? Now, it's interesting as we look at this, because what was the background of this and what was on this man's mind is that the Jews, the religious experts of the day, had the commands. They had totaled 613. I think our study sheet tells us of the 613 commandments, 248 of them were positive, 365 negative. That's according to their count. That's subjective, but that's what was there before them. And as you'll see that note by William Hendrickson, I'll just read. It's on the inside. It's your little open book thing there. It said, the rabbis, devoted to hair-splitting legalism, carried on lengthy debates about the commandments, arguing whether a particular one was great or small, heavy or light. It was natural that, therefore, that they debated the question of which one is foremost, which one is first. See, we have this thing sometimes that, have you ever heard someone say, well, that's love, and then this is doctrine? Now, let me ask if that makes sense to us. Is the Bible teaching us, the Bible teaching on the way that we're to love God, the love relationship that we are to have with God, is that not doctrine? What is doctrine? Doctrine in its simplest form, and you'll see this on your study notes, we don't have to go to all that. There's two words that are used most. They're used for teaching, for instruction. It's didaskalia and didache. And these words, it's teaching instruction. That's what doctrine is. We sometimes will say, oh, doctrine, but what we mean by doctrine, or certain groups mean by doctrine, it's certain teachings that they have decided are doctrine. Now, you notice I said they decided, because God hasn't decided. If it's Bible teaching, it's doctrine. Now, let me just fill in a little bit more background on that. Jesus was a doctrine man. Jesus was a doctrine man. Sometimes it seems like we have this idea, oh, this Bible doctrine, and boy, that's the good stuff, and that's the rock-solid stuff. But when you speak of love, or you ask Jesus a question about love, then he's this nice man that just wants us to treat each other in a good, kind way. But did you notice how this text ended? When Jesus finished that discussion, after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus' teaching was doctrine. It was Bible teaching. It was Old Testament. That's the Bible, isn't it? Bible teaching. This was not an easy question. You had these guys, and it'd be like taking, you start picking names of all these famous pastors in evangelicalism and fundamentalism and get them in a room together. Okay, what's most important, guys? Woo! Yeah, watch the fur fly. But is it really that hard? Is it really that hard? It's only that hard when we predetermine what is most important. Now, this is a pretty good time of the year probably to talk about what's most important, isn't it? We talk about priorities. I'm not really one on resolutions. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You have resolutions, you know. If you want to quit drinking and smoking this year, you know, then, you know, go ahead. Or if you want, whatever you want. Whatever you want to quit doing this year, you know, that's okay. I'm not real big in the, but I am big on priorities. And, you know, I had a man one time speaking of this love versus doctrine thing. And he told me, he said, I'd preached a message, and it was in 1 Timothy 1. And it said, NASB, I like best, is the goal of our instruction. Uh-oh, I did it. I don't have it. Is love from, I got to turn there now, folks, if I had just whipped it out there. 1 Timothy 1, 5, if you want to follow, you don't need to, but I mean, and I'm going to read it from the ESV. I like the New American Standard better. Actually, I'm going to combine them. The goal of our instruction is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now this guy, he was a good guy, but he was one of these, he was a fighting fundy. He was a fighting fundy, and there's a lot of good things about fighting fundies, by the way. Boy, you don't have to worry about being shaky on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and on the authority and inspiration of Scripture. And I mean, they might go after you on your music or on your Bible translation. Oh, okay, but they're brothers in Christ, and he was a fighting fundy, and he was a good guy. But I had taught through these first few verses of 1 Timothy, and he said, if I understand you correctly, you're saying love is more important than doctrine. Well, see, there's two things that he didn't understand. One thing, what does the text say? What built, it was good doctrine, and what good doctrine resulted in was this love from a good conscience, pure heart, etc. He didn't understand that the biblical teaching on love was also doctrine. He had love over here and doctrine over here because of previous influences, because of the fight against the liberals and this and that and the other. But again, we have to sometimes break things down to the most basic elements. What is doctrine? It's teaching. What is Bible doctrine? It's what the Bible teaches. So what the Bible teaches, when God calls us to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our might, that's doctrine. So you'll notice that the title of the message today was First Love, First Doctrine. Jesus, what's most important? And you say, well, that was just, you know, Jesus carried that from the Old Testament. It's in that intertestamental period of the Gospels. Well, Paul carries it on too, and James carries it on too through the New Testament. See, he didn't understand that you can't divide love and doctrine. Now, what people do is they do divide those, and then they have neither biblical love nor biblical doctrine because they make this divide. They say, well, we will decide. No, if it's Bible teaching, it's doctrine. And what he also did not understand was that one thing can be more important than something else. It doesn't mean the other thing's not important. You follow me? And I've run into more than one person like that. If you say something is, this is more important than this. Oh, well, you're saying this isn't important. Okay, can we back up the recorder? That's not what I said. I said this is more important. There's a beautiful medical facility going up by the new Carthage Hospital, by Carthage Memorial on the highway. You've seen that. Randy, I think you said your doctor going to be moving his office in there, probably other physicians. In building that structure, I'm sure they use scaffolding of some type, probably on the inside and the outside. Now, let me ask you this. What's more important, the building or the scaffolding that was used for that building? Well, the building's more important, isn't it? So then the scaffolding's not important? No, I'm not saying that. Better have good scaffolding. We've all seen some of the stories. Big, huge scaffolding that was they put up too quickly. They're trying to move too fast, mining area, high-rise building or whatever, and it comes down. Scaffolding is extremely important. See, you can't pull doctrine and love apart. They're both integral. It's the foundation that's built and then the fruit that comes from that foundation. Let me ask you this, and so the building's more important than the scaffolding. Well, they didn't have that building just to have a building there, do they? They're going to have the physicians come in and, I don't know, maybe x-ray and all the imaging services. I'm not sure what all they're going to have there. So what's more important, the building or the caregivers that are there and the people who come in who are going to receive the care? What's more important, the people coming in and receiving excellent medical care or the building? The people are more important, aren't they? Is the building not important? Well, no, the building's very important. So when we look at Scripture, and we see that where Paul was writing there, and he said, this is the love that is produced. Is it more important than this? Yes, but the other's still crucial. It's still very important. And this man didn't understand that because, well, doctrine was the Holy Grail. And whether you really understood what doctrine was, and I've been in churches and one particularly, and in fact, one of the guys there told me, just take this for what it's worth, but he told me, he said, you know, he said, I just can't really picture you preaching through a book of the Bible. Told me that. You know why? Part of the reason why? Because I didn't say when I shared a couple of times there, and every other word wasn't doctrine. You see, some people, if you say you're not intent on seeing what God says, you're not intent really on what is God saying, what is biblical doctrine, you're intent on saying doctrine a lot. So people know you're interested in doctrine, and so people know that you've got sound doctrine and solid doctrine. And oftentimes, people who are saying doctrine every other word, and Bible doctrine, and good doctrine, and sound doctrine, they're not really clear on what doctrine is, and you don't have to listen to them very long to see. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible teaches us is doctrine. See, I want us to see, because this isn't some little soft teaching there when they're approaching Jesus. You think the spotlight wasn't on Jesus Christ when they came up? I mean, just picture. You're in a room with all these religious experts, which is the most important teaching in the Bible. Wow, that could be intimidating. Well, not to the Son of God, but that could be intimidating. If you would look on your study sheet inside, Jesus taught doctrine in Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and was teaching. Didaskaken, it's that word, teaching, the doctrine word. In Mark 1:22, people were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, and they were astonished, reading in Mark 1:22, and they were astonished at his, Jesus' teaching, didache, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. People were amazed at Jesus and his doctrine, in Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching, didache, with authority, he, Jesus, commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him, Jesus. People were amazed at Jesus and his doctrine. Jesus was a powerful teacher of the Word of God, and you're saying, well, duh, Dave. Well, maybe all of us understand that, but a lot of people don't. That's the soft stuff, you know. It was written in red letters. So, you know, the type's not as bold. So when they ask him what is most important, well, one more on the study sheet. Jesus rebuked those teaching the rules of men as the doctrines of God. Now see, folks, this is what happens a lot. This is what happens a lot, and it happens a lot with those people who have to say doctrine every other word so that you know they're teaching Bible doctrine, even though it might not really match up with what the Bible's saying. They're teaching the rules of men. But they think if you say, if it's the rules of men, do they think if you say it's Bible doctrine enough, it becomes true? Have you heard that? If you say it enough, it becomes true? Well, it doesn't. You know that. You know that. I'd tell you how smart you are, but you just think I'm kissing up to you now after all that stuff earlier. But you guys know that. You know that. You just keep saying it enough doesn't mean it's true. You could say, well, it's a large group of people saying it, still doesn't mean it's true. God said the whole world be a liar. He's the one telling the truth. Now, we can't say, well, we're the only ones that have it. I won't say that. I won't say I'm the only one teaching it. But what I tell you I will do is I will be the one listening to God. And God help me if I say something and you can't go right to Scripture and see that it is Bible doctrine. Then there's no Bible doctrine that's more powerful that will do more in our lives than love the Lord thy God with all our heart and soul and mind. And my Jesus rebuked those teaching the rules of men as doctrines of God. Matthew 15:9. In vain do they worship me, Jesus, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The commandments of men. And that's our tendency. And that was the tendency of these early Jews. There really didn't need to be all the contention on what was most important. There really didn't need to be. And with us, when it's like, what is most important? You know, it's not accident said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He approached us for a love relationship. Now, are all these other things true in that? His righteousness and his holiness and the necessity of the forgiveness of sin, all of these? Yes, that's all very, very important. God wants you to love him. I hope you haven't gotten over that. It's like God loves me. Sometimes it's like, wow, how could God love me? And that's huge, and that causes us to praise, to worship him. But then God just takes it to another level. He wants us to love him. It'd be like this very famous person, I'd say the president, but that probably wouldn't work for some of you. President of the United States probably wouldn't work for some of you. Some of us it would. We'd be pretty honored to have the president of the United States visit us and express some kindness to us. But what would really shock us is if he was really concerned that we cared for him in return. You know, this, you see on your study sheet, on the back, the Shema, and that's where Jesus started that when they asked him the question, the Shema. I've never studied Hebrew, so I couldn't, I'm going on what this Jewish believer in Christ had on his website, and so I've got that there for you. But in very basic form there in that little square on the scroll, it says, Shema Yisrael, the Lord, which is Adonai, our God, which we usually see as Elohim. Here is Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. See, this was a confession of the Jewish people, and it's found, the whole thing is, well, you got the whole thing right here in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And they would say that. You've heard that. Some of you are, I'm sure, familiar with that, the Shema. And that's how Jesus started out. And he began sending out the basic doctrine of the oneness and the no otherness of God, the oneness and the no otherness of God. Now, what do I mean, the no otherness of God? Well, there's no other one like him. We see that, and boy, we just, as Isaiah ever powerfully have that. There's God and there is none other. There's God, there's no other one. One true God. There's only one. And that's what Jesus was saying. And he was saying, that is the God. And we see that the scribe followed that, because in verse 32, I'm back in Mark 12, the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said he is one and there is no other besides him." Is there anybody, when we look at God, is there anything up there that's close to him? There shouldn't be. Now see, we're going to, Jesus is going to say there's a second one like it. You know, love God. Second one like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But not love our neighbor's gods. Not love our neighbor's gods. Care for our families, but our families are second fiddle to God. Everything is secondary to God. And some of us just might, yeah, because if you truly love them, you're going to get what's most important, right? See, our lives are going to be in that place, the very best place. The Bible talks again and again about us being on a path, this journey that we're on. And we might not understand all we just looked at in Exodus today, and it's just so great. They're there and they're getting terrified, and God's saying, just go forward. They're in front of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are over here. God says, go forward. Tell them to quit whining, Moses, and to go forward. And that's what God, he doesn't show us all that I want it like that. I want to see the steps ahead so I can take some assurance in what I can see. God says, trust me. The more we love God, the more we'll trust God. The more we trust God, the more we will love God. And it's not just love God so we're doing the right and moral. It's loving God. Just like you'd want to develop a relationship with your husband, to love your husband, to love your wife, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love God. God wants us to love him. We have that relationship, and it clicks one day. Ain't this cool? I love God. I love God. I really love God. And that should be exhilarating and thrilling to us that we love God. When we love God, when he truly is number one, we're doing best, what's best for everyone around us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our neighbors, for our family. Speaking of our neighbors and our family, because if we're truly loving them, see, we're speaking to them not just goodness on this horizontal level, but their true needs, which their need is of a Savior. Their need is to have things right before God. See, that's why I was saying earlier that our church and being able to do, I just love being able to do things like this for the community. But we've got more to offer, and we need to offer it. It's more. We got good people in this community, but they're not good enough for heaven. And we've got good families, but they're not good enough for heaven apart from Jesus Christ. And we need to love God to have the courage and to have the insight, to have the care, to have the humility, to have the selflessness, to take the steps of sharing the things of God with our family and with our community so that we are directing them to live not only for now, but forever, now and forever. There was a church in Revelation. Jesus addressed the angel there, and I discovered here a while back, within the past year or so, maybe I knew it before, but I don't think so. When it talks to the angel of the church, that it's speaking of the pastor of the church is what the commentators were telling me. So I'm kind of like an angel. I really am an angel after all. And but anyway, if you'd like to just turn briefly, we're bringing this to an end. Don't get too worried about the time. We're getting there. Turn to Revelation 2, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1. To the angel, to the messenger, to the pastor of the church in Ephesus write, "The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, see, what we can't overlook is that this was a busy, thriving church. This was a busy, thriving church, and what better time of the year to make sure that we really have first things first. Now, sometimes we look at this text that says you've abandoned the love you had at first, and I have heard people make comments about, oh, when you're first in love with someone, and this kind of thing, you know. It's not that. It's what Jesus is saying. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the God. We love him. We show our love by obeying him. We show our love by bowing before him, by submitting to him, by worshiping him, by praising him. God is our life. God is our life. All the important things that we're doing that cloud that out, that obscure that, it's just our stuff. It's just us being too busy and forgetting our focus. And just love God, love our neighbor for the month of January. Well, not just for the month of January. Hopefully it keeps going. But just love God first. First love, first doctrine. And we can be doing a lot of good things. We can be doing a lot of important things. But if we're not first doing the most important thing, then we're missing it. And the most important thing is such a privilege. Just let our minds go there from time to time. We can't really picture what heaven's going to be like. We get glimpses in Revelation and Ezekiel and Isaiah and different things, and they're powerful, and I love that. But just picture yourself there and picture God now and your Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And what a privilege, what a gift that we've been given, that God loves us. And I can love the Lord, my Adonai, our Elohim. The Lord is one. And that God wants to be number one in my life and to have a love relationship with me. Is that a blessing, or is that a blessing? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, your great love and care. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Oh God, how we praise you for your word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.